Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast. Today, we are going to have a fantastic conversation about the pros and cons of minimalism and the pros and cons of maximalism for the homemaker in her art of homemaking. I'm Angela Reed of Parisian Farm Girl, and I am joined by my best friend, Shay Elliott of the Elliott Homestead. Minimalist or maximalist, Shay?
Both.
No pressure. Both, right? Right?
I think everyone knows, especially anyone in your design society, knows exactly what your take on this is.
Yeah. And just doing some research for the season, you know, what are relevant topics to the homemaker right now? I saw a lot of minimalist this and minimalist that. And I'm over here like, I don't want to talk about minimalism, but I'll be a good co-host and I'll be pragmatic and I'll look at both sides of the coin for the sake of the show.
I think minimalism is the remedy for a bigger problem. I don't think minimalism is actually the issue, or stuff necessarily is the issue. It's a symptom. People, I think, turn to minimalism oftentimes, not always. Some people are just inclined this way, but I think why you're seeing this like huge cultural trend towards minimalism is because people have been so burdened by being such a consumer.
Yeah. I do think it's a pushback. I think it's a rebellion. I think it's definitely a freedom seeking mechanism.
To
consumer culture, to running to Target every weekend and just buying loads of crap.
All the things.
Yeah. All the things.
I recently went to Macy's. We have a Macy's in my town. And because I had become so locked and burdened by the amount of things that are available, I just needed a few t-shirts, like normal old t-shirts. So I go online and I start browsing around and, oh, and here's this one and it's ethically sourced and woven and this and that and made from hemp or recycled tires or something, right? And then you have the counter, which is like, here, you can buy one for $3.50. And there's so many choices, so many options, so many price ranges. I find it just gets totally overwhelming. So to walk into a store and be like, oh, look, here's the t-shirt section. There are 12 options. Choose the one you like the most. I don't know. I find that to be very liberating. And I think that's kind of what minimalism is getting at.
Yeah.
Just take away some of the options. And look, we all feel, a lot of us feel, I shouldn't speak for everybody, a lot of us feel just inundated and overcapacitated. I don't think that's a word. At all times.
No, we talked about it last week, though. The cup overflowing.
The cup overfloweth. And so when it can, look, you go to the cereal aisle. How many types of cereal are there? I haven't actually been to a cereal aisle in many moons, but 75, I'm guessing. What do you think?
I can't imagine. A ton.
A ton.
Yeah, a ton.
And so even something as simple as I just want to choose a cereal, or I want to choose a t-shirt, or I want to choose a paint color, you have 2.4 million options. Good luck.
And so, but minimalism isn't, it's more about what you're bringing home then.
Well, okay, let's see. Let's go back, way back when.
Okay.
There was a great blog I love, Rachel. I don't know if she still has it, called Nourishing Minimalism. Do you remember this blog? And I remember specifically her talking about her little children's clothes, small children at the time. And she had 7 pieces of clothing for each of them. So they had 7 t-shirts, 7 sweaters and sweatshirts, 7 pairs of pants, 7 pairs of underwear, on and on. Because she thought, I wash their laundry every week. So why do they need 40 of something? I know I'm going to wash their laundry. They know I'm going to wash their laundry.
Okay.
And I could never pull off something like that. Maybe I don't have it together enough.
I can't, see, that's just it, though. I just feel like minimalism comes with this shaming element. It's like a vegan thing. Because somebody did go after me on YouTube a few weeks ago, and I was like, girlfriend, why are you on this channel? But it was just like, you shouldn't, you know?
You shouldn't what? What was she saying? I don't get it.
I have too much stuff.
Oh.
Like, yes, that's typically, if you're an antique collector, you have plural.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically,
I don't want to shame minimalists, though, because
as an aesthetic, I think it can be really beautiful. And as a way of life, it's impressive. I could not do that. I could not have a capsule wardrobe. Never. I love dresses.
To talk about that.
Yeah, I could not do that. If I see a new dress and I love it and it's in my budget, I'm getting it. I'm not going to go, well, I already have three. Mm-hmm. No way.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I get why people are drawn to it. I do think it can be reactionary. And I say this as, shall we say, a recovering momentary minimalist, where I have gotten rid of things that I wish I wouldn't have gotten rid of. My moments of overwhelm and just oversaturation of everything, I've done the huge, big old piles and bags and taken them to the donation centers and just gotten rid of it. And then a year down the road, thought, why did I do that? You know, it was too reactionary. So I understand the sentiment of overstimulation. And look, we're talking to homemakers. Think about a homemaker in her home. Mm-hmm. It can be very easy to become incredibly burdened by the amount of stuff that you have to take care of. So I remember reading in a book one time. What book was it? You and I read it. It was about the toaster. And if you spend X amount of seconds dusting your toaster.
Yeah, we interviewed that gal. Like in the first season or something. I can't remember. Yeah. How much time?
Do you remember
this?
It ended up being oh, you've spent 3.5 weeks of your life dusting a toaster.
Right.
I think about that a lot. Is this worth dusting? But it's more than that, because don't you think the stuff you bring into your home, maximalist, minimalist, whatever it is, your throw pillows, your shoes, your rugs, your window dressings, dishes, toothbrushes, all of it has to be accounted and cared for in some capacity.
Well, you're always touching the toaster. I mean, you're always touching the toaster. If you know, like Joel, he'll go buy like a whole round of fresh toothbrushes. I'm like, great, now we've got 75. You know, like always touching the toaster. So
that's what I mean, though. And it all has to be touched. And I think this is the other bit where minimalism can get it right, is that I want to get to the point. I'm not totally there yet, but I would really aspire towards wanting to actually take good care of things, having an amount that I can actually manage really well.
Mm-hmm. Across the board or everything? Because, okay, so yes, maximalist. I'm always going to have oil paintings. I'm always going to buy that new dress. I want books. I don't care if they don't get cracked open but once every 6 years. I want lots of books. Do I want a million extra toothbrushes in the bathroom sink? No. Do I want Tupperware lids that don't go with anything? No. Do I want, like, I'm always like, move it out, shove it out, like get it out. I'm always throwing things away. I'm always recycling things. There's so much that I want less of. So I think you can probably have different categories of your life where you're a minimalist or maximalist. You know, I think for the homemaker, minimalism comes down to, like, you know, this desire to declutter and stay decluttered. a desire to be really intentional mm-hmm. with your purchases for the home. So you don't open the appliance drawer one day and there are 2.5 toasters in there, you know, you didn't even know you had. And mindful consumption. Not consumption as a hobby on the weekends, consumption to fill the void, mall culture, shopping for the sake of shopping.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I think those are all really good things.
All right. I want to parse that apart.
Okay.
But before we do that, I want to say thank you to the sponsor of Homemaker Chic. That is the one and only Branch Basics. The cleaner that you should use, whether you're a maximalist or a minimalist.
Right?
Because it's clean and it works. And listen, I'm going to break it down for you guys. Okay. First off, you can go to links.branchbasics.com/homemaker chic. I know that's a lot to remember, but there's a link to it in the show notes of the podcast. Or you can visit Homemaker Chic on Instagram and there's a clean button on our profile page, okay?
Somebody messaged us on Instagram the other day and they said, how do I find the link?
It's the clean button.
It's right there. It's the clean. It's like the easy button, you know, those easy button commercials. Yes, that's why they're red buttons.
That is what it looks like.
They are the easy buttons.
And you want to use that button because when you use that link, you get 15% off, okay? So the starter kit that we've told you about thus far this season is $75, okay? Now, with this $75 starter kit, first off, you're going to get 15% off for using our specific link. But I want to explain to you exactly what you're going to get with that $75. You're going to get this beautiful box in the mail, and it's going to come with a bunch of empty bottles, okay? So there's going to be a laundry bottle, a hand soap bottle. There's going to be a streak-free glass cleaning bottle, a bathroom bottle, an all-purpose bottle. And then there's going to be the full bottle of the concentrate. So you get to then, this is my favorite part because it just makes my heart so happy when I have loads of good cleaning supplies. You fill all of those bottles up with water to the water line and then up with the concentrate to the soap line. Okay, so 15% off, $75, but one a bottle of that concentrate that comes with your starter kit will make 3 all-purpose bottles, 3 full bathroom bottles, 3 full streak-free bottles, 64 loads of laundry, and 3 full things of the foaming hand wash.
Boom.
That's a good
deal, y'all. That sounds like a maximalist. Sounds like a maximalist deal.
And listen, if you're a minimalist, just buy the concentrate. Use one bottle. I don't know how you like to do. I have bottles everywhere. I've got upstairs bottles, downstairs mm-hmm. bottles, bottles in my shower, bottles in my laundry room. I love them because they're clean and because they work. No artificial fragrances, no dyes, no colorants, no preservatives, no harsh chemicals. Super clean. So you can visit links.branchbasics.com/homemaker chic to get started with a starter kit from Branch Basics. Remember, this is one and done, or you can also subscribe, which is what I do, for the concentrate because I don't want to run out because I know what will happen. I'll end up spending so much money.
I know. I just realized like last night, oh my gosh, I forgot to get a fresh one.
refill.
links.branchbasics.com/homemaker chic or the red button on the Homemaker Chic podcast Instagram page.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go back to parsing out because, Angela, I do believe that perhaps you're saying people are more nuanced. Is that what we're getting at here?
Insert the scary organ music.
But you I mean, like to put people let's in boxes. Not put us,
let's not put people in a box, including ourselves. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe I am.
Imagine that. So I am truly married to a hobbit of sorts. Mm-hmm. A southern hobbit, as it were. And
southern hobbit.
Can you imagine anything better than a southern hobbit?
If that isn't a new brand,
what is? Could be a clothing line,
right? Lederhosen with a straw hat. I see it now.
But I realized early on that there was no world in which my home was going to be a minimalist home when it came to books. Mm-hmm. There must be 12 guitars around my house. Look, we've basically done entire episodes on Legos. You know, like there are mm-hmm. just pieces of us and pieces of our families where we say, yeah, I'm going all out.
Yeah, more is more.
More mm-hmm. is more. You know, yeah. More is more. On the flip side of that, I think a lot of people can resonate with the feeling, the desire. Look, Marie Kondo. Mm-hmm. Am I making up that name? Mm-hmm.
No, I think that's right.
Okay. Kondo.
Yeah.
As soon as it came out, I was like,
I haven't said that right. in a long time. Is that right?
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. like she became a multimillionaire Ruthless. Just telling yeah. people to get rid of their stuff. Just get rid
I
of it.
I hated it. I mean, I read the book. I read the first book. I did not like the disconnect from things. I know you can't take them with you. I know they're just kindling. I like things. I like pretty things. I like old empty perfume bottles that just have to be dusted off like the toaster. I like it. So the ruthlessness at which she went after that was not for me. Now, the way she folded laundry, I liked it. You mm-hmm. know, like the neat and tidy aspect of it. Yeah.
Which brings up another important point of who's dusting the perfume bottles. Because if Angela, that's what I mean. If you're buying them and you appreciate them and they make mm-hmm. you feel joyful in your home and you are the one taking care of them and you are willing to give those perfume bottles some of your time.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Right? Like no one should have a problem with that.
Right. Yeah, I always say like the price to pay for my stuff is that I have to take care of it. And I'm game. I'm willing to pay that price. Mm-hmm. It's just like a garden. A garden's a big, fat, colossal pain in the butt. I'm willing to pay the price. You know, it is.
I have like dirty armpits right now. I've sweated through dirt my boogers. Shirt.
Like garden boogers, I call them. Like, it just starts coming out your ears.
Yeah. And, yeah. Their only solution is a shower and mm-hmm. a long one where you actually have to like hose. Scrub all of the bits. And I was out there today doing this just horrendous piece of my property that, frankly, I have avoided for a very long time because I knew it was going to be horrendous and I knew it was going to be hard. And it was a great reminder. Stu came out and was like, how's it going? And I was like, I hate this. Why do I have this? Why don't I just grow grass? Because good night. Just hours of your life spent taking care mm-hmm. of something. But then mm-hmm. you do it and you step back and you're like, I would do that forever.
Right?
I'd do it forever because I love it. And I think that's actually maybe an important part of minimalism and maximalism is like, you don't always enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work out because I don't enjoy it. I really don't. It's another thing on my to-do list that I could just really do without, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But is that the point? Like, we don't not work out because we don't want to.
Right.
Do you think that can be the same even with, like, being a maximalist? Like, sure, it's more work. And maybe you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But you like the
not
result?
Not always. Yeah. Yeah. I like the result. I like the, you know. Yeah, there's certain... The things that I'm a maximalist on are because they bring me pleasure.
Yeah.
Mostly visual pleasure, you know? Okay. So do we think we understand minimalism?
No, I think you should. Look, you're the design lady. So I think you should give us your definition of minimalism. how people use that word, I guess.
Now. Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's a lifestyle where reducing clutter and stress are a priority, or the stress created from clutter, if clutter stresses you out. I think it's a lifestyle focused on, or that has, that makes maintenance and cleaning a priority. So it's not, I think it's attractive to people that are more practical. Here's like a silly, you know, I'm not a practical person. Mm-hmm. I got a pram as my first stroller when I became a mom. And I was joking to a girlfriend. I'm like, I know it's not really practical. And she's like, Angela, you're not a practical person. You want a pram. You want to rock around the block and look like you're in Buckingham Palace. That's why you're getting a pram. Like, you're not a practical person, so don't even worry about it. I think it, for the minimalist, I think it's, maybe that lifestyle allows them to focus on what really matters. And so maybe things and clutter, or just having too much of stuff, is sidetracking, if that's a word.
Yeah. It sidetracks them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then,
but okay, hold on, you know, though.
Okay.
Because I think there's different types of clutter. Okay.
Well, yeah.
There's 12 guitars around the house. And then there's.
And then there's receipts and prescription bottles all over the kitchen countertop.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, that's clutter.
Like, that's what I
mean. That's not where it's supposed to be.
There's stuff, you know? And then there's stuff.
Stuff.
Come to us for more clarification on hot topics.
Right. We're just crystal. Just like, can't you hear it tinging? We're just crystal clear. Ting.
Yeah. I think that's actually an important distinction. You know, I think if you were to stereotype broadly, when you think of a minimalist home, I mean, what color comes to mind?
Beige. White. Off-white.
It's white.
It's
just white. All shades of white. You know, I saw this Instagram mural yesterday of a woman who moved into this beautiful like house and had this huge brick fireplace and a vaulted wood ceiling, and then she was showing that as the before, and then the after was just all painted white, and she was like,
"I saw that
dream home," and I was like,
"I saw that on Instagram," and I just went, "Ew!"
But for her, it was beautiful, and I guess I say this as like a warning to people, like if you're overwhelmed, overstimulated, not feeling comfortable in your home, feeling a bit buried by your things, I think the knee-jerk reaction is to just get into the ditch on the other side, which is like, I can't handle anything. I can't handle any stuff. I can't handle any clutter. I can't handle any sort of like personal, individual design choices. I can't handle anything. That's just another ditch. Like, there is a massive field of opportunity between I have one dish that I wash after I eat and I can't even get into my sink because there's so many dishes. Like, those are two ditches. They're called ditches because people fall into them and then it's hard to get out. But there is a huge road in between those two things.
Okay. And minimalism isn't always, you know, I know, of course, I want to talk about home decor, but it's also lifestyle. You know, some people are they're choosing to simplify routines and schedules.
Yes.
So there maybe minimalism isn't exemplified in their home, but like one sport per child per season. That's it. Don't ask, no more, nothing. That's what we're doing. You know, so there's a minimalist approach to the actual lifestyle, not just the surroundings.
Now that.
I think I fall in that category. I can get behind that, girl.
Oh, we got church and piano.
Can that dinner. Be it?
Right?
Yeah.
Hack it off. Mm-hmm. No, I think that kind of gets maybe a little bit more to the heart of the matter. I think we're potentially always looking for quick fixes. We're always looking for a to-do list. You know, we're always looking for the fast fix. prioritizing money, budget, time, family time, like those are harder tasks because those then get to the like, what's
having
the
another
heart
garage sale
of what we're trying to do versus I need some sort of organizational high because I'm feeling a little out of control. So I'm going to I'm going to clean out my Tupperware drawer. I never thought of minimalism in like a lifestyle, in like that sort of a lifestyle kind of a way, but you're totally right.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think minimalism and maximalism, while we tend to use them for like decor, you know, they're big words. Okay, so pros of minimalism.
Look, I'm not a minimalist, but when my home is clean and tidy and things are cared for and I know where things are, everything runs smoother. That's like, that's not rocket science.
But here, like, here's the way you are. You don't have a ton of kitchen appliances.
I do not.
You don't do kitchen gadgets.
I do not do.
So you have like
gadgets.
What, a Cuisinart and an Instant Pot? That's it.
Well, yes, but I did just buy a new kitchen gadget that I feel like we should do an entire episode on, which is my electric pressure canner.
You talked about that a few weeks ago.
We are in the weeds with this pressure canning thing because it's like a giant Instant Pot.
You're not like with the chopper and the
And
that's one way that you're kind of
that has progressed. If when I look back at pictures of my kitchen, I was so excited when we moved into this house. It was the first house we've ever owned. I mean, to be able to create a space was exhilarating to me. Also, we had very little money and had to rely a lot on creativity and patience because things take time. You know, we're looking at a decade into our kitchen, basically. But so when I look back on those times, I kind of had crap everywhere. And that has really changed. And I don't know if it's because the kids are getting bigger and just taking up more space and I feel the need to have less things, or if it's because things can start to feel a little junky, a little grandma-esque, a little like cottage gone awry. And so when we're filming in there, I want it to feel clean. I want it to feel clean because it's a old kitchen and it has enough patina on its own. And by patina, I mean like mice.
Oh, isn't that the truth? So a pro would be a clearer workspace, clearer living space. Simplified routines.
Somebody told me one. Did you tell me this? Was this Darla? Somebody said, if your child can't keep their room clean with just like a little bit, you know, 15 minutes a day of putting things away, if they can't actually clean it, like, it's too much. They have too much. Is it Darla? And you've actually sort of saddled them with an impossible task. So apply that towards the homemaker. If you can't, I tell myself this all the time when I'm feeling that like, oh, things are getting a little sloppy, I pause and I look around and I say, could I clean it up in 20 minutes? I'm sorry, this isn't a fair thing to talk about with you right now.
I know you're giving it. I'm like, I'm starting to have like an anxiety attack here. Holy cow. And I just said to myself, let it go, Ange. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. In my mind while you were talking.
I've been there.
If you're listening to the show and you don't know what I'm talking about, we're remodeling the kitchen. And so the kitchen has vomited itself all over the first floor. And it's a little overwhelming, to say the least.
Sure. But those are times of temporary imbalance. But at our running
insanity,
neutral, right? At our kind of like normal rates of things. Look, okay, yeah, there's Lego stuff. My kids, they cannot leave the Legos off of all the stuff. They set up entire living room scenes of like Star Wars things, you know, and there's like strings from
Wild
chandeliers
and strings, zip lines.
it's insane. And I'll pick it up and then like a spider web. It's just like the spider just rebuilds its nest the next day. But okay, the vacuum needs to be run through. Pillows are on the ground. They need to be put up on the couches. There's some clothes down. Shoes need to be ordered in the closet. Okay, I need to water that plant. All right, that's 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. If it can be cleaned in 20 minutes, you got to be chill. You got to be more chill about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think to me, that's the goal more than how much stuff do I have?
Can I manage it?
Can I manage it? That's exactly it. Can I manage it?
Mm-hmm.
Can my kids manage their stuff? Do we have the systems in place so that it can be managed, regardless of how mm-hmm. much stuff we have?
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm going to go over the pros and cons.
Okay.
Then we're going to thank our sponsors. And then I got to talk about maximalism.
Okay. Okay. Pros and cons.
Okay. So I think clear space for working and living.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What else did I say? Simplified routines.
Look, most of the time, minimalists spend less money. They have more intentional purchases.
Yes.
More intentional purchases.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would surrender to that.
Yes. All great pros. Cons.
I would. Those cons.
Cons.
For me, you know, I'll just use my dress example. It's restrictive to self-expression and creativity. Again, that's just me. If your self-expression is to be minimalist, then that doesn't make sense. But that's why when people start talking capsule wardrobe, I'm like, please don't do that. Don't make me do it. Don't make me do it. Because, you know, it's like a self-expression thing. Like if I see a fabulous pair of earrings and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love those. I don't want to say no for the sake of saying no.
Right. I think, too, it can come with this pressure, you know, kind of like you're talking about with the capsule wardrobe, to do it a certain way. Here's what minimalism looks like. You shouldn't own more than three pairs of shoes. Or just this pressure to maintain perfect aesthetic. Which, as Angela likes to say, one backpack. And the whole thing doesn't
one
work.
One Spider-Man backpack on that floor in that white room is ruined.
And I want my kids, frankly, to be able to have the Spider-Man backpack. I think you see a lot of branding amongst influencers, you know, sad beige children.
Influencers? Influencers? You said influencers? Oh, yeah, the sad beige children. I don't want any sad beige children.
It's like, I think things look beautiful like this, and therefore, this is how my husband has to dress. This is how my kids
have
to dress.
Here's a gunny sack.
Here's a gunny sack.
Yeah. I think a con, too, is also this pressure to let go or pressure / shame, whatever you want to call it, to not be attached to sentimental things.
Yeah.
And I'm super attached to things that people I love once owned or loved, you know, past people that are gone once cared for.
Angela will be the person around your deathbed clipping off your fingernails and hair and putting it in a little
sachet. You can keep your freaking fingernails. That's not what I'm talking about, you weirdo. I'm not a Victorian.
That's totally what you're talking about.
I'm not weaving a hair wreath in your honor when you die, Shay. It's not happening.
I'm kind of offended, actually, that you're not willing to do that. I'll send you a lock before I actually die. I'll make sure it's nice, dirty garden hair, too, just for your enjoyment. Right.
I'll send you mine with a tick in it. Oh, my gosh.
On that note.
Okay.
Why don't we take a second to say thank you to the advertisers that keep Homemaker Chic on the air. But more importantly, these are businesses that we love so much. Tubes and American Blossom Linens have been with us since the podcast began, which is really, that means a lot to us. They believed in what we're doing here on Homemaker Chic, and we believe in what they are doing as these incredible small businesses. So, first up, Toops and Co. Toops like soups, okay? That's how you spell it. Toopsandco.com, and you need to use the code HMC10 for 10% off. And this is where you're going to go, and you are going to have so much fun shopping. I do a big order from Tubes probably 3 times a year, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll buy like 6 bars of the charcoal soap. And you know what I got this time that I'm really excited about? And I haven't tried it yet. So I want you to tell me about it.
No.
Is that beautiful brush and like the blue mask?
Oh my gosh, Shay. Eek! It's so amazing. I actually have to hide it from my girls because they love it. What is it called? Blue mask. It's not called blue mask. Oh, crud.
I'll look it up.
It's got, I think it has Manuka honey in it. It is so decadent, and I can't stand it when my kids say yummy, but it's yummy.
It's yummy.
It makes your skin just, oh my gosh, you have to get it.
Resurfacing mask. Resurfacing.
That's why I love it, because I'm all about the sandblasting.
There you go.
Yes.
So
resurfacing mask, you have to add it to your order.
I
do. You have to.
And it's coming. And they even have the little mask brush so you get to paint it on. There's the glow face mask. They even put together like the skincare starter kit. So it'll put together that, we talked about this last week, the sea buckthorn cleansing oil, which you need to try. It's what I use. I take all my makeup up. I wash my face. It's just, it is. It is decadent. Emily has done such a good job formulating her skincare and her makeup without any synthetic
chemicals. It's not health food store skincare.
No.
Okay. It's not. It's department store skincare without the poison.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It
doesn't even smell like patchouli. It smells amazing.
No. It doesn't even smell.
No toxins, no fillers, no artificial colors, no artificial fragrances. If you want to know more about it, we had Emily on last season or the season before, and she got really into the details of natural skincare and ingredients and why they choose certain things. But if you're not sure what to start with, try that sea buckthorn cleansing oil. That is a fabulous place to get started. Try the resurfacing mask, the regenerative serum, the glow serum. You don't have to stop there. There's blush, there's mineral makeup, concealers, foundations, mascaras, cheek tints, bronzers, all the things. So tubesandco.com is where you can go. Use the code HMC10 for 10% off.
And right after that, head over to AmericanBlossomLinens.com for 20% off new bedding, towels, sheets, blankets. Mm-hmm. Use the code SPRINGCHIC20. I'll tell you what, talk about urging and feeling like a minimalist. That's what I did when I got my American Blossom sheets.
I did the I just threw it out.
The reason is these are crisp, fabulous sheets. They are hotel quality. This company has been making sheets for hotels for 125 years. American Blossom is their domestic line, as it were. They're completely made in the United States, from the spinning to the weaving, the sewing. When they arrive in a gorgeous box, hand-wrapped, just for you. They include Georgia peach tea with your sheets, so you can dress your bed, sip your tea, and sleep in peace. These sheets will make you happy. They have a happiness guarantee, a 2-year happiness guarantee.
And here's the thing.
Their sizing is...
Hold on. Yeah. We're talking about minimalism today, okay? You guys have heard that saying, we're too poor to buy cheap things, okay?
Right.
We got our American Blossom sheets when we started recording this podcast, which was 4.5 years ago. And they still look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay. So
softer with every washing. It's a buy once mentality. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a too poor to buy cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So you get that two-year happiness guarantee. We're on like 4 years with ours. Mm-hmm. And no more creeping fitted sheet. So with a king and a queen, you get 4 pillowcases instead of 2. And you get 20% off. So you are being mindful of your budget, which I love. So 20% off with Spring Chic 20 in a beautiful box, extra pillowcases, top quality. What are you waiting for? I know many of you have been listening for the 4 years and you still haven't gotten yourself a set. So today's the day. Visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com, Spring Chic 20, or use the red button, the easy button on the Instagram page that says sheets.
All right, maximalism, Angela, you were born for this.
I am a maximalist. Here, I can't help
let
it.
Let me tell you my favorite part about maximalists, or people who sort of wear that banner. If you go to Instagram, let's say, and you search up maximalism. I love when you see people get creative and have personal taste. I don't care if it's not mine. There's plenty of things I see that I don't personally think are beautiful, but I love the expression of something in a home.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, being a maximalist, it's self-expression in the home. It's self-expression in every room. It's you know, where minimalism is maybe making things what, sweetheart? No, you need to go find Dad. Oh my gosh. Oh,
poor little kiddo. Junior.
Got a little one with an earache. There you go. Okay. Goodness, what was I saying? Minimalism is, you know, more open spaces, less clutter, things put away. As a maximalist, you know, you want to be surrounded by the things that you love, by your collections and by your things that you've inherited, your, you know, whether they're curated or they were passed down to you. You want your stuff around you. Mm-hmm. It's comforting. Mm-hmm. And also, it's very...
My friend Natalie, she often jokes that she's a maximalist, in the sense that, you know, she'll have three rolls of foil, and she's got like 40 teacups, and she's got like two coffee crafts. You know, she's just got like, she's equipped. And I think that's another pro of maximalism, is that we can make things a lot harder on ourselves, and we can actually create a lot more work. We talked about minimalism and how it actually tries to avoid some of that. And almost without meaning to, you can actually create a lot more work for yourself because you end up running to the store over and over again.
Well, I mean, even with, like, say, take dishes, for example. Like, I'm the friend that people call when they have a special occasion or they need something. Oh, I need a platter. Who would have a platter? Angela would have a platter.
Yeah.
You know, like, who has a punch bowl? Who has a crystal punch bowl? Angela has three. You know, like.
That's right. That's what I mean. Like, there is, and somebody needs to have the punch bowl, you know?
Somebody's got to have it.
Might as well be
somebody's got to fill the void. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think being a maximalist, it does make for opportunities for creativity and self-expression. I think most children are natural maximalists. And then I think at some point it gets like weeded out. Kids like to have their stuff. Little girls like their knickknacks. Little boys like their twigs and bones and... You know, we've talked about like how
boys' room would
have stuff.
They might scare some people.
You know, I think, it's comforting. I think kids are comforted by their stuff. I think most little children are maximalists.
Oh, sure. Sure. And I think, I guess, you know, we talk about this all the time here on the podcast. Homemaking should be expressive of who you are, of what you find joy in, what you find important. Our homes are just like an outworking expression of all those things. Just like our calendar, whether we acknowledge it or not, our calendar is an expression of our priorities. Our checkbook is an expression of our priorities. Mm-hmm. Our home is an expression of our priorities. And I think that that's a good thing. We can learn a lot by being honest with ourselves and looking around at our things and say, all right, I say that stuff isn't important to me, or I say that I want things to be clean, or I want things to be like this or like that. Is that truthful? Like, are we actually setting our homes up in that particular way? I don't know. You're going to have to do some self, inward self stuff.
I think there's, you know, I think it's easy to, you know, just like you can make assumptions about the minimalist, you can make assumptions about the maximalist too, that they're into their possessions. All they care about is possessions. They're obsessed with shopping or with buying. But I think, you know, everybody's going to be a little bit different. But like there was, he passed away last year, but a British designer, Robert Keim, fabulous possessions. I mean, just, he had an incredible eye and just wonderful antiques. He had been collecting antiques his whole life. But when you heard him talk about them, he was pragmatic and he had a very healthy distance between his heart and his possessions. He loved them. He enjoyed them. But he's like, these are just things. You know, he, I think it's really easy to make a, you can make a visual assumption about the minimalist and you can make a visual assumption about the maximalist.
Or even a heart assumption about the maximalist.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Right. We've talked about that before. Stated. Like, this is going to sound dramatic, and it's meant to. But we have this joke in our house of when a kid will get particularly uptight. Oh, so-and-so touched my game. Or insert any number of scenarios.
That happens in your house?
Crazy. But the joke becomes, did Jesus die? For your Monopoly game. Did Jesus die for your Legos?
Right.
Did Jesus die for your backpack? Did he die for your bike helmet? No, he didn't. But he did die for your sister. So, like, let's keep the main thing the
back
main
off.
Thing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And it's not that stuff isn't important. It is important. It shapes our lives.
Right.
It shapes
it
our
should
work.
Be respected.
It should be respected. It should be cared for. You should respect your sister if she tells you she doesn't want you to touch something. All of those things are true.
Right.
But that's still not the main thing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, I mean, look, I think stuff can help you to enjoy your life. It can. You can use it as a tool to make you and not be made by it. For example, Stu and I spent years, we had this one little shady spot on our property and we would sit on hay bales because that's what we had. So just have the hay bales there, sit on them, fine. Well, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we finally went to Lowe's and bought sun chairs, like loungy sun chairs. And they were not cheap. Outdoor furniture is not cheap.
Oh my goodness.
But now we're able to like sit in these really wonderful chairs and it enhances our rest time. I mean, it's genuinely very enjoyable. No one can deny it. It's nicer than sitting on the ground or on a hay bale. Okay. Like there is a reason that we have invented things. Like we don't eat with our hands anymore. We use forks. We don't cup our our hands to drink water. We use glasses, right? Like
right.
Like having nail clippers is really nice. That is progress.
So I think, you know, there would be bad sides to maximalism, like we talked about the minimalist schedule, the maximalist schedule that's saying yes to everything and whose kids are maxed out and don't have time for creation and imaginative thought and just downtime where their little brains aren't being told what to think and what to do and moms run ragged. And, you know, that's maximalism, and that's maximalism with a schedule gone wrong. There's maximalism in our refrigerators when we buy too much food that we haven't planned a meal around and then it goes rotten. You know, there's all sorts of ways that we maximize our surroundings for good or for bad, not just in home decor. You know?
Yep. So
I think, you know, obviously the...
Sorry, okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, as we sort of like wrap this all up in like a, hey, mm-hmm. go forth and fill in the blank. I think it's kind of important to remember too that seasons, there are seasons of homemaking. There are seasons of raising children. There are seasons of marriage. And I would hate for somebody to leave this episode and be like, oh, well, you know, minimalism bad and maximalism good. And da, 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 da. No, that's not. It's like neither. It's individualistic and it's mm-hmm. it should be realistic to where you are in a particular season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more stuff around here than there will be in 15 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, think about, I have 6 children, each with hobbies, each with school books, each with markers, each with beads, each with
clothes,
ball jars with bugs in them, each with clothes. That is a lot. Snow boots, gloves, hats, extra gloves. Yep. That is a lot of crap. I mean, it's overwhelming. It's an overwhelming amount of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think even if I've got it dialed in and I do the big purge and then we get fresh clothes and everybody just has a couple of one thing, there's no way around it. 6 times
anything.
4 t-shirts is a lot of t-shirts, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. That's very true. And that's where I think the kind of rubber meets the road in an individualistic kind of way. I think mm-hmm. the goal would be to not think you're doing something better because you're doing it this way or that way, or that somebody else is doing it wrong because they do it this way or that way. I think the goal would be to find a path forward that feels fluid and steady and mm-hmm.
and that really matches how you feel
to where you know? Are. Exactly.
Do you feel pressure to be like one of those thrifters who's going out and finding a new treasure every weekend just because you're seeing that sort of trend on social media, but then you get home and this stuff overwhelms you? Then you're probably more of a minimalist. Mm-hmm. If it's vice versa, if you love bringing home that new treasure and setting up and enjoying it, and you feel like kind of lonely and void without something pretty in your home, then you're probably a maximalist. You know, I mean, I think it's like really go ahead and just be lean into what you're feeling. I think this is one area where you can actually lean into your feelings, darn it. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, because we're curating a home and every home is going to look different. It's going to be branded differently by the person whose hands are put to it, you know, and it's also okay if you kind of don't know. I spent years accruing things from the thrift store trips and now like I never go. Mm-hmm. I'm not bringing in really new things right now, not without like really specific mm-hmm. intention or thought. You know, one only needs so many wooden spoons. I have enough wooden spoons. Done. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the job has shifted from accruing those things to just caring for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a stage too.
Yeah. Right. Definitely a stage, whether you're like a young bride and you're just really sort of building your inventory or learning your design style. I'm going to give a shameless plug for my Old World Design Society. If you need help with your design style, you can find me that over on Instagram and we'd be happy to bring you into the fold into mm-hmm. our private forum and help you with that. Help you sort out your mini maxi-ness.
Mm-hmm. when I was building my home, think about how many text mm-hmm. messages and phone calls you and I had together. Oh, what do you think of this color? Mm-hmm. What do you think of this setup? And then after some time, you know, you start to get your sea legs and you're like, you know what? Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said to me one time, you were like, basically like, go with God. You can do this. Like, you know what you like. You have an eye for the things you like. Just do that. And that was... Mm-hmm. It was actually very helpful and liberating to me when I stopped trying to do things in a certain way and instead just said, all right, well, what do I want to do? What do I think will mm-hmm. look good? Because we're meant to be individuals. Absolutely. Hello.
Yes. Amen.
All right. Where can people to do the society. Did you say that? People might not know.
Oh, it's kind of a mouthful. The easiest way is going to be over on, just go to the Parisian Farm Girl Instagram page and click the link.
There you go.
And I think you can enjoy a week free or a month free. See what you think. You get to experience a live design Q&A with me. We visit every Friday morning over coffee, and every Monday there is an interior design challenge that you can apply in your own home, and everyone shares pictures, and it's very cool. So by the end of that month, you're going to just talk about having your sea legs. Mm-hmm. You're going to be much more confident in your own space.
There you go. So. Whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Share your thoughts with us, ladies, over on Instagram. Homemaker Chic Podcast is where you can find us. And of course, to shop Tubes & Co., to shop Brands Basics, to shop American Blossom Linens. All those links are on our Instagram while you're there, or they're in the show notes below this episode as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a good episode.
That was fun.
I like that.
Makes me want to go clean my house.
We've never talked about that before. No. Not like that.
No.
Not like looking at both. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see you next Monday.
All right. We'll see you guys next Monday. Cheers.
Cheers.